Yeah, check, check, check. We live.
Hey, everybody. I didn't come this far. How's everybody doing today?
We good.
We're actually, we're recording this the day that we're putting it out. We've just been so tired. Yesterday, we tried. We tried last night.
Yeah, it just wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening, so.
Yeah, by the way, we are live in our dining room.
Welcome to our dining room. That is a podcast room.
Yeah, and we still not done decorating.
I think we've said this. Yeah, we keep apologizing. We're like, right. We're going to get to it eventually.
We'll get to it. We'll straighten out some of these pictures and shit. Yeah. God damn. Jesus.
Well, we also just got back from New York City. Not yesterday, but the day before.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
That was nice. A great time. We got our engagement pictures done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why everybody... And I don't know if the comments just keep cracking me up because they're like, why don't they get married then? And we're like, we're getting there. Can you give us a second? Right. Like, sheesh. Anyways.
Can you turn the music down a little bit?
Oh, yeah. My bad. You know, I just be.
Sorry. I know. That's the radio in me. That's the old. You're talking over the music right now.
So tell them what you used to do. I mean, I know they know you're a DJ.
Some people don't know. I'm a DJ now, but I got my start. In the DJ world on the radio.
If you're from Houston and you are older than 25.
Hey, wait a minute.
No. I'm saying this because like 2000, baby. Yeah. Well, even mine. No, mine too, because that's how I knew you was from radio. But I'm just saying like kids these days don't know.
They don't listen to
radio. They don't listen to radio. And if they do, they're like, ugh. Yeah, what is this, a commercial?
Yeah, right.
Right? So, like...
I mean, radio is it's obnoxious now. It's
annoying.
Super repetitive.
It was back then
when I was on it, so...
yeah. Club Yakum. Yo, that was my favorite commercial.
Wow.
That was my favorite commercial. Wasn't old enough to go, but I knew the Club Yakum, man.
Well, I did 10 years in radio. So... I ain't new to this.
Yeah, he's been doing... That's why he's able to put all of this together.
So quickly.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was like, let's do a podcast. And he was like, yeah. So you're going to set it up? And I was like, no, you are. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You're going to do it.
Right.
So anyways, I don't even know how we got onto that. New York City was super, super fun.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy part about that, too, was while we're in New York was whenever we got the most traction on that video. I think whenever we recorded last time, we were only at like a 300,000 mm-hmm. views. While we were in New York, when I get to New York, we hit a million views. And
now we're sitting at 1.5.
Yeah, Jesus. and it was, you know, comments were coming. And we were, and the thing is, like, I was trying so hard not to be on my phone. This was my first time in New York. I'd never been in New York. All I wanted to do was walk around. You know, take the train everywhere. Like, that's what I wanted to do. So,
And that's what we did.
And I had the best time. New York has the best city. Dare I say the best weed? Dare I?
You already did.
I know. Yeah. I'm saying it. Like, I'm saying it. We went to, you know, just a little corner store, THC dispensary spot. And yo, I think it was like four or five little, the miniature joints lasted us the entire time. And I could smoke. I can smoke. Like, we can throw back a couple blunts and I'm good. But I did my usual smoking and stuff like that. But God damn it. Get this goddamn.
Yo. We ain't cutting none of this out.
Yo, oh my God. I love her to death.
You could at least introduce her or something.
Nah. Yeah. She ain't got no spot here. Anyways, so.
If you're listening, the cat just jumped on the podcast table.
Yeah, again, we're in our dining room.
She's a sphinx.
She's real cool. You're so proud of that. She's a sphinx.
Sphinx.
So anyways, you know, I can smoke, but that shit there. Whoo, like, but they need it there because the people there, real not nice. No, they're nice. The people there, actually everybody there, besides one lady that cussed me out in her extra New York accent that I loved. It was the best part of my trip.
I was
like, oh my God, just don't make eye contact. Mind you, before that, I thought she was high. Like, I thought she was real slow, and then all of a sudden I asked, cash her card, and she fucking lit up like a Christmas tree and lit me up like a Christmas tree. So it was the best. Honestly, like, I was like, yes, I couldn't wait for this. Anyways, that shit kept me high. I don't even know where I'm high right now. So here we go. Anyway, so what I wanted to get to first were the questions that we got asked. That the first one, and it, we'll try and get to all, like, if we can on other episodes, I'll probably ask it once a week. I don't know when I'm going to ask it, put the question out, you know, to get questions answered on the podcast, but I'm going to put it out at some point. Just pay attention. What I wanted to address was the questions. The first one being, and I'll let you start because it was asked by a dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a new dad to two under two, which was just like us. Our kids are 15 months apart. So
let me tell you, big homie, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
You are now in the trenches. You are currently
worse than that.
What I say, what I call in the trenches.
You are at war.
Exactly. I called.
I never understood that. I never. Whenever you would say that while we were going through it, I never understood the war part. And now I'm like, yo,
it's war. It's a war. It's a long. Just know you got a long war with a lot of small battles to win.
And a lot of them are going to be personal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are going to be personal.
Yep.
A lot of times, like, and I was saying it yesterday, a lot of times getting through that, the first, you know, year and a half with 202 is a lot of letting yourself just survive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A lot of just, like, making it from, you know, the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And if you did that, you're good, yeah. Bro. They ate, yo. Yeah. You're awesome.
All right, I'll tell you what. Time allocation is critical.
Yeah.
You got two under two, and he's a single dad? Yo.
I don't know if he's a single dad, okay. Actually. But either way, you did it with me.
Time allocation is critical because you got to get naps when they nap.
Yeah.
You got to shower.
Or whatever it is you got to do. Yeah.
You got to work when they nap. You got to do everything. And then, but I mean, by that time, you tired yourself. So
right.
You're like, no, I'm just get the nap. I'm just going to nap when they
nap. So then everything piles up.
And I mean,
because when you're watching them, you can't take your eyes off them. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's jumping off a couch. Somebody's putting something in the, mm-hmm. in the plug socket. Somebody's you know what I mean? Chewing on the end of a remote. Like something is happening.
I would always tell people, excuse me, two things, containment and entertainment are the most important. Keep them contained. Big house, small house, no matter what you got, find an area in that house where you can walk away.
And they're going to be good.
Yeah, they're at least good to where you can hear. Yeah, they get quiet,
or they're like for 5 minutes, you know that they're not going to stab each other.
Right.
Yeah, because that'll happen.
And by doing that, you have to have gates and then some more gates and then get some more gates. And then and you should be all right.
You'll find somewhere to put the damn gate. You will find a place for at least five gates.
Mm-hmm.
You will. You
mm-hmm.
will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Because you need multiple barriers, you know, because they'll break down one.
Oh, they will.
Figure out how to open it, how to climb over it, how to climb under it. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. These kids are smart as hell.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, and all they got is time to figure shit out. That's what they're supposed to be doing, is they're supposed to be figuring things out. So they're going to do it. And if they watch you close enough, they're just.
It's so many hacks, though. Oh, the Duna. Gotta tell them, you know what? They ain't paying us.
Yeah. Whatever. We had a dope little stroller, but that was just because it was cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, and the other question was, at what age did I meet Bella? And I did want to clarify this because I think we kind of just,
Bella is our 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah, yes. And if you listen to the first podcast, you know, you'll kind of get the gist of the relationship there. But people were wondering when I met Bella, and I will say maybe it sounded like, you know, I just met her and then we took off, right? But there were a couple of, you know, instances before then, you know, not on purpose either. I think one was like you were just dropping something off or picking something up, whatever it was, and then the baby was there and met her there. And, you know, a couple other times in between whenever custody was being shared, you know, there weren't any orders or anything, but, you know, in between that time, stuff like that. So it wasn't like out of nowhere I just came into her life. So I think the first time we said was 2 months.
Yeah.
It's so blurred.
Saw her was 2 months.
Probably a little less than
like
that.
A little drop by. I was like, hey, well, I got a baby in the back. Come on, check it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. you wanna check it out?
Yeah, you wanna check it out real quick? I mean,
pretty cool. She doesn't do much. She's sister.
So sporadically over the next couple of months, it was, you know, yo, come hang out, or, you know, I come hang out, bring the baby. I got the baby with me, so, you know, I stop by, you know, cook a little lunch for your boy, you know what I'm saying? A little something for the baby. No, but and then when I eventually got full custody, or I'm not gonna say full custody, court ordered possession, was around 5 or 6 months
Right. And then something about her also that I wanted to clarify. I don't even feel like I need to clarify it, but there's some confusion about what she is, and she is biracial. I don't know why that comment kept coming up, but people were a little bit confused about that. I don't know why it matters. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I mean,
we look. Come on now. We know it's the internet.
Yeah,
the,
I know.
The land of controversy.
Man, and we. You know. I didn't even know how this little tiny video of me and my baby. Remember, I didn't have this following. I didn't have, the traction that I did on the video and the amount of comments, the amount of likes. Like it was.
It's a sensational story, and it's one. I mean, they tell you in the comments, this is a story that people don't tell and that you don't hear every day.
Yeah,
story
right.
of our life. And it's, you know, somewhat controversial to, you know, certain people for, you know, personal
reasons. Yeah.
You know, a lot of them in the comments have shared their own personal stories about parenthood or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, it's a touchy subject. It's something that people don't really put out there.
And especially you know, it being with a woman being the one that left versus a man. That's. You know, it happens all the time, but people don't talk about that.
Right.
You know, a lot of people like to dog on a deadbeat dad, but for some reason, now that it's a mom, you know, it's like the tables turn, and that's what makes it controversial. Is like, why are we not giving that the same attention? Which to me, talk about it amongst yourselves. I'm not getting into that one.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little biased on that, but you know, it is something that people are talking about. So, anyways, I don't know. I don't know why I wanted to address that, but it seems to be causing some weird confusion. excuse me.
So, but parenthood, I mean, how do we do it? How are we doing it?
That's not what we're talking about.
It is what we're talking about.
Going to transition into this. I really wanted to talk mainly about parenthood and what we do for a living, right? Because if you look at the statistics, there is a very, very, very large portion of the American population that is in the service industry of some sort.
Right.
I'm not saying specifically servers or bartenders, just that means management, that means, you know, anything like that. There's a very large portion of people that are in the service industry. And, they are parents, and it's
they're normal people.
Normal, yeah.
They're not degenerates, folks.
No, right? We just the reason why.
I mean, no, it's something that
you have to realize. Like, there's a reason why. Like, the service industry, we are people that. I mean, before kids, we can do. We ain't gotta put in a month notice for a vacation. You just get somebody to cover your shift, and you're good. You like, you know, it's people don't understand how you can balance the money, but the it's funny because the times with the restaurant industry, like I get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's commission based. So it's like, I'm not out here, you know, making $600 on a Saturday and then by Tuesday it's gone. Cause you know, I got things to, I'm catching it. That's totally not what it is. It's, If you want it to be, can be a very structured way of living that allows a lot of freedom. And our freedom just happens to go to our kids. We get to, and so many of our friends are in the service industry, and we get to live a life where it's like you have the luxury of doing lunches during the day and meeting up with your friends whenever you want, and you know, birthday parties, and like we get to do all of that while still making a living. Now, don't get me wrong, it's exhausting. Let me make this so very clear. Me, I'm a bartender. I've bartended all over Houston, clubs, dive bars, sports bars. You know, I've hotels. I've done all the bartending everywhere. There is nothing. Ooh, and I'm gonna tell my Drake story on this one.
Oh, okay.
There is nothing more exhausting than getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, after the lights, the people, the screaming, the yelling, all of this commotion. You can't go to sleep right away. That's why I started smoking, like, especially after work. Like, after work, yo, where's the J? Because if not, I'm going to be up for the next few hours. But, like, there's nothing more exhausting than getting home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, sober, because you know what's to come. And at 7 a.m., you got, mommy.
Whew. Yeah, on the dot.
On the motherfucking dot. Like, there's nothing that is more exhausting than being like, I need several more hours of sleep. And I can't, because somebody got to get fed. They got to get changed. They got to go. Like, we've got shit to do.
Right.
So when I tell you I am exhausted, and with my exhaustion comes anxiety, with anxiety can come follow with depression, because you're not trying to go nowhere. You're not trying to do anything. Like, you're so effing tired. And I mean, that kind of goes into why, like, especially why I smoke with what I do.
Right.
I don't know. Go ahead. You can tell me your experiences as a parent from then to now.
Okay. So, I mean, I can talk about this for days. I really can.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the balance it takes to take on parenthood while living and working in nightlife.
Yeah.
It is risky. I'm not going to, you know, there's the perks of, or, you know, there's the benefits of, you know, your freedom of time and things like that. But if you're smart, if you're smart, you don't have as much time as you think.
Right. Yeah.
Because even though you are, you know, physically working at night, you know, you're on site, you're at, you know, your place of employment, wherever that may be at night. During the day, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done.
Especially for you, like as a DJ.
Yeah, for me as a DJ, anybody. There's a lot of stuff that needs to get done during the day, life things, you know,
cleaning,
other business, you know, things that need to get done during the day that don't necessarily get done. If you had a 9-to-5, you would do those on the weekends or do those, you know, as soon as you get home. It's very much so a schedule.
Yeah.
Just as if, you know, you had a normal job, you know? And so it's a give and take, just like anything else. You just have to be willing to be grounded, and not give in to all of those bad temptations that come with, you know, working in the service industry.
Right, and explain that a little bit. Because a lot of people might be like, oh, is that like drugs? No, it doesn't always mean drugs.
No.
It could just mean like the late nights and stuff like that.
It can mean the late
the
nights.
The trips.
Yeah.
For you especially.
You know, it's easy to make large sums of money and not be on some sort of a schedule as far as income.
Yeah.
And think that you can't budget and, you know, kind of look towards the next step. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that because you it's fun.
It's,
you know,
comfortable.
I'll say it's easy for certain people that think it's easy, you know, and that just depends on who you are and what type of profession subfield you're in and nightlife. That, but, you know, because for me as a DJ, And as a business owner, I get up every day and I'm, you know, I call it office days where I go and I work and I'm in front of a computer, whether I'm doing show prep for a gig or an event or something like that. I am, you know, drawing up invoices and contracts and scheduling other DJs for things. And, you know,
I had no idea there was this much work that went into it, especially in the beginning. Now, mind you, a lot of this work, you know, came after, you know, COVID and stuff like that. But I will say I didn't know how much office time, you know, that you needed until maybe like a year after COVID, like a year after you got back to working like full time with a schedule and stuff.
That's because when we met.
Yeah, there was we had nothing. We had nothing to do. Right, right, exactly. There was no, let's go do something. No, you had... Get up, stay in the house. Yeah, so.
And you know, and I can only talk about DJs. I mean, a lot of real DJs that treat what they do seriously as a business. That is what they're doing. They're either what you call a DJ nerd. And they just, I mean, they just really just, they're a purist. They just love what they do. And so they spend hours in a studio or in front of a computer to put out their artwork, you know, and then you, and not to say that isn't or wasn't me. I'm more business minded now, and I treat what I do 51%, 55% on the business side,
right?
Because I know that there's an end to it at some point, and if you don't grow, grow, you know, financially, if you don't get smarter in what you're doing, then you're just gonna fall to the wayside just like all the rest, you know. But to touch more on the parenthood side and that balance, you have to stay grounded in order to do both.
You gotta know what's important. You have to really prioritize, because it's really excuse me, it's so easy to go, you know what, I'll be fine tomorrow. Because no, you won't. Because no, the hell you won't. Not only are you going to, like, let's say, you know, excuse me, especially in the service industry, you know, we all stay, or at least I used to, you stay after work, you having your beers, your shots, you know, you staying out till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you get home, you pass out, and you don't have to wake up until your next shift at 4 o'clock. So you getting all that. As a parent, you don't get that, A, because if you do, that means you're not cleaning the house. That means you're not watching your kids. That means you're not cooking the food. That means you're not doing way too many things that need to be getting done. So it's easy to say, I'll be fine tomorrow, but that's because you're going to put off everything else that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And you're going to fall behind. Here comes that anxiety.
Yeah.
Here comes that depression. Here comes that, I don't know, why am I doing this alone? And it's like, if you don't stay on top of your stuff, especially as an industry parent, you can get swallowed up into a really dark place. And luckily, and I say that just not from personal experience, but from what I've seen with other people and how, you know, suddenly, and it's funny because it'll always be with a parent that has, you know, the co-parent not in the industry that's like, look at your life, it's falling apart. And it's like, no, it's not. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. If you keep your eye on what is important, your kids, your home, and making sure that everything around that is good, nothing can go wrong. But you gotta focus. And that's not to say you can't take a break. I mean, look, we just came back from New York. The kids were with family. They made it to school every day that, you know, that we weren't here. And it was fine. But you got to plan for that too.
Yeah.
You can't just do things on a whim. Doing things on a whim means your kids are not going to be watched properly, or they're not going to have the right amount of clothes, whatever it is. It'll be bad.
Yeah.
It won't be good.
So, you know, I'm going to talk about, childcare. Cause that's a huge, wow.
Wow. The amount of money that people make, sorry, technical difficulty really quick. The amount of money that people make in childcare, I mean, if this doesn't take off, we're definitely becoming an in-home daycare because it's nuts.
So, but how important has that been
in
our situation?
You know, It was really hard at first. Now let me tell you this story because I'm gonna tell this story.
No, go ahead. I was actually thinking before we. It's probably the story I'm thinking about.
With the first daycare.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, it was just up. Like so. The first time our 3-year-old goes to daycare.
But wait, but why? Like, what you have to tell.
Okay. Well, now mind you, I found it completely unnecessary. Even though it was very necessary because I'm 7 months pregnant. I'm working, but very, not long, couple days a week, things like that. I'm pretty pregnant. I don't see the need for daycare, but he does. Now, I will say we're Google parents. We Google everything. And if you look it up, going to daycare early, it's a good thing for them. It mm-hmm. helps them socialize and learn rules because whenever they turn 5 and they go to school or however old they are when they go to school, those are structures that is kind of just like expected of them for some reason.
Right.
Anyways, so my wonderful man here finds a daycare.
But why did I choose this particular day?
Go ahead. You tell him. Okay. I don't know.
All right. So it was our very first time needing some childcare, right?
Sampling childcare.
Well, I mean, you got to test it out at some point, right?
I guess.
Now, mind you, we are service industry parents.
Right.
And, my first Google search on childcare was 24-hour childcare. At this point, You're how
for
many
me.
Months? You're 7 months pregnant.
Yeah. 7 or 8, something like that.
Something like that. And at least me going to work at night and you were still working.
Yeah, I was working, but not like crazy late hours.
Right. I was trying to find a daycare that was 24 hours. Did this exist? Let me figure it out. Let me Google it and find out this. Particular
and
type
it does
of,
just so you
and
know
it does there's and it does there's
and there's
one,
nothing wrong with it. I want to make sure I say that there's nothing wrong with it personally for me and my anxieties,
right?
It won't work.
Yeah, well, I had to think about other people that had similar work hours.
Yeah,
policemen,
yeah,
nurses, like there's so many people that may work late overnight. And that still need childcare, so there has to be a nice place for you to drop your kids off.
And they're
going to sleep all night. They're like, it's like, wow, that. Like, this is great. Like, I can't believe they got something like that for people. So I find the place that's pretty, it's not a bad drive. It's close. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, it wasn't just like,
look,
an amazing looking
place.
It
was old. It was a very old place. I think it was a church, right?
But they had a church attached.
Right. So it was like a church nursery daycare mm-hmm. kind of deal. When you walked in, it looked very churchy. No window, not too many windows on the walls. Just not too many windows. Brick. Like the back office of a church. And the rooms that they put the kids in had no windows. And again, this is not to dog on any daycares that may look like this. To me and what I wanted for my kids, that didn't make me comfortable because I wanted just a little bit more. I wanted them to be exposed to just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with this kind of daycare. Right. For me, it wasn't going to work.
Right.
So, I mean, the doors had like one little tiny rectangular window that you could like a jail cell.
Yeah,
it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, kids need more to look at than white walls. And I understand maybe that was the other thing. They didn't have a lot on the walls, and I was like, this isn't for me. But you made me drop her off. Well, we dropped her off together.
I made you try it. I said, let's try it.
You made me go like 5 hours without her. We go to pick her up. She is hysterical upon arrival. I'm losing my absolute mind because I'm thinking they're like, mind you,
you
the
cried.
Way that they grab her. No, I
cried when we dropped
I
her
I cried so hard. And it was funny because on the way out, there was another mom who I guess, had been going there for a while. She was like, let it out, girl. Let it out. I'm like, no, fuck you. You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know nothing. She's like, because funny how moms will do that for each other, right? Like, they see you, they know what you're going through, and they're immediately like, I know, we got to do it, though. So anyways, I understood why he picked this daycare. It just was not for me. And, you know, I didn't have it. And so I found a different school. We'll wrap this story up. I found a different school. It ended up being the Esperanza School, which, shout out to them. They don't got to pay me for nothing. They are the early learning center in the city.
Oh, wow.
The okay. learning. Like, they are.
Well, they better be as much as we paid.
Yo, I am definitely going to quit my job as a bartender and find somewhere to open up a school. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I've never heard of this.
I'll say this. After we took the leap of faith, I wouldn't even call it a leap of faith, we said, you know what, all right, we need to, if we find a place, and this was, by the way, this is not a place that was 24 hours.
Yeah, you right, know, right.
We kind of
regular gave up, 9
kinda,
to 5 parent.
Right, we kind of gave up on that, but we did like the idea of putting the kids, or at least putting Bella in some sort of early learning or daycare, so we can have at least time during the day to get more things done.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we can have our sanity, not being, you know, having to care for the kids all day.
Yeah.
You being pregnant, it was just a lot. It was a lot. And so finding Esperanza, it, you know, you knew that, or you felt like it was an investment.
Yeah.
You know, doing all the research, and you're talking about how much kids intake at that age, you know.
Yeah, like they had the science down to everything. Remember they had us go to like an orientation,
mm-hmm.
and they were like telling us about like what happens in the different, you know, age groups and why they do this, why they do, like they made you feel like, this is for their learning. This is for their education. Like, mm-hmm.
It was a curriculum.
Yeah, it wasn't just, all right, y'all got to drop y'all kids off. They'll get fed. They'll take a nap. And then, you know, we take them back, which we had been to a few to like that. And it just didn't seem like, because Bella was so advanced too. Mm-hmm. Bella was already, you know, talking and she was, we just felt as though she was ahead of her time, and we really had to take advantage of it. So right. That was kind of the main reason why we wanted, you know, something like that for her. Now I will say that schooling is a little harder for people with income that is not steady. Right. A lot of bartenders don't have, you know, that 100% I know what I'm making today income. So that's why those school, like the more expensive schools like that can't really work with you,
mm-hmm.
don't work. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
It's,
I mean, but that's when you have to realize, I mean, I always say, I don't know how I'm able to pay toddler tuition,
yeah.
and I wasn't able to pay college tuition,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and I mean, and it's a mortgage.
Yeah. It's
your biggest,
let alone with two
biggest, mm-hmm, it's one of your biggest expenses. Having children, and I mean the people who already do, they understand that. But looking back and looking at the development,
yeah,
and the benefit that you get, and the peace of mind,
yeah.
and all of that, you figure it out.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You figure out.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. You just do it.
Yeah.
It's just what you do. It's just the first is coming. Okay, you just pay your daycare. Like,
right.
You're not thinking
forget
about
the rent.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Right. You're not thinking about, oh, but I want to save money for this trip, or I'm blah 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 blah. Like, you're not thinking about anything that has to do with you. You're just like, okay, like, I mean, if I got it or not, I gotta pay it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I might as well pay it while I got it.
Right.
It's that kind of deal. It's like you, that's why I'm saying, like, your priorities gotta be in line. Or you better find somebody that's making a lot of money. That's what I did. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. I'm broke, y'all.
I'm just kidding. No, but I, seriously, you have to be able to keep your head on straight and say, like, I don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's been times when I don't got it, but I better find it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's our situation. I mean, we have, of course, a great support system.
Yeah.
You know, we have family and friends that can help out, but you know,
if my friends can watch my kids, they're my family. So
right,
no
right.
need for friends.
And I mean, it's obviously it's, you know, case by case. You know, if you have an elderly parent that, you know, that just loves to watch the kids during the day, you better drop them off over there, you know, when you get a second. But for us, it was, you know, it's more of a burden that we didn't want to put on a lot of our family members. Yeah,
because they're busy too. They got to work.
Yeah, I mean, they got 9-to-5s as well. Yeah. You know, so we can't necessarily.
Which kind of works too, though, because then while we're at work, they're usually at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so.
On the weekend. So, yeah. So, I mean.
We somebody, have that.
Right. And if you hustling hard on the weekends, you know, and you have all that family, that support system, that's when you're dropping the kids off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too much to ask mm-mm. them. You know, you spread it around, you make that schedule.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then yeah. it makes your parents, the grandparents appreciate being around your children
yeah.
that much more.
Yeah.
And because you need them for emergencies.
Yeah.
You need them
right.
for
trips.
You know, you need them.
Things that you need in order to be sane.
Right. And you know, that's all part of the investment mm-hmm. into childcare.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's a win. It's a win. You hustle hard and you know, you put that time and money into it and in the end it works out. You know, yeah. life balances out. So
yeah. With that, and I kind of touched on it a little bit, you know, kind of going back to how it is with those late nights and early mornings with kids, I wanted to add that the reason why I can get through, I feel like if I didn't smoke, I would have by now lost it. Not really. I mean, you got to keep your head on straight for your kids no matter what, but there definitely have been times when, like, I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so over it. I don't want to be anybody but in my bed.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want you to elaborate on smoking because we haven't done that yet. I want you to kind of elaborate on why you smoke. Period.
Yeah. So
I mean, and obviously, you know, this podcast is titled Can a Mom.
Yeah.
And we didn't really elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Yet.
You know, I the reason why I wanted to call this podcast Can a Mom is because of the way that smoking is incorporated into my everyday life. Because I'm an everyday smoker. I mean, I'm not saying I wake up, first thing I do is smoke, last thing I do is smoke. But I'm somebody that, you know, is a very anxious person. I'm a really emotional person too. And a lot of times, you know, whenever I get that amped up feeling, well, like with the anxiety and stuff, and this has been like my whole life, like this isn't just recently, even just as a mom, this was, you know, pre-mom too, panic attacks, you know, things like that, things that kind of, it's hard to come down from whenever you're already up there. I found that smoking was, it didn't debilitate me, and it let me work through my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning, like, I'm a person that my mind is moving 100 miles a minute all day, every day. It's hard to go to sleep because I'm thinking about something. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about something all the time. Like, it's just constant. And I'm the kind of person that feels like when I smoke, everything just kind of slows down a little bit. I'm thinking things through a little better. I remember whenever I was taking my NASM certification, which if you don't know, it's one of the hardest physical training programs that you start. It's self-taught. You don't have a teacher. You don't have online class. I mean, you have like an online textbook and stuff like that. But, you know, it's you on your own. You take the test on your own, this and that. I've always been a horrible test taker throughout high school, anything like that. Horrible test taker. This was done on my own. I'm smoking while I'm studying. I'm retaining everything that I'm reading. It's crazy. I've never been able to. I'm serious. I had never, you know, I wasn't a good student. I had to work really, really hard for the grades that I got, and they were not good. I'm realizing it's because of the way that I'm not able to retain information. Finally, finally, you know, I'm taking a different route. I'm me thinking like, oh, and honestly, it happened on accident because I would on purpose not smoke knowing that I had to study. And then it would just so happen I smoked and I'm like, shit, I got to study. Okay, well, let's try it anyways. And I'm realizing I'm retaining everything. I'm doing the online test and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember the blah, blah. Like, it's crazy. It's just benefited my life in way too many ways for me to not advocate for it.
Right.
Whenever I was in, you know, postpartum after I stopped. So kind of a little bit about my postpartum. I was not producing as much milk as my son needed. It made me feel like the worst mom in the world. Not because of anything that anyone was saying. It was just personal. I felt like that was like, that's just what you're supposed to do. Your body's supposed to do that. So that was really hard on me and, you know, incorporated into my, postpartum depression. That was really, it was pretty severe if you ask me. And it was, you know, I would start to get this anxiety and mind you, like postpartum, I wasn't smoking, especially through the breastfeeding because I don't know, that was just me. Like it was, not through my pregnancy, not through my postpartum, because I just didn't want, like, I didn't feel like putting my child at risk, which I don't think it puts you at risk. I just felt like for me in my head, the way that it works, again, you're talking about someone that's brain is moving a million miles a minute. I'm thinking the worst is going to happen just to me because that's just how I am. That's just how I think. And so I cut it off during my pregnancy, especially while I was breastfeeding And I suffered a lot. And I remember thinking while pregnant and breastfeeding, would my kid rather me go through this? I mean, these panic attacks, I'm shaking in these panic attacks. Would my kid rather me go through this or be mentally stable? Like, I remember asking the question, what would be worse? Because to me, the anxiety and panic attacks and the way that your body tenses up and everything like that, that's got to be way worse than the very small amount, the incredibly small amount that would maybe get into your child's system, maybe, that would calm me down, level me out. And, you know, I feel like if I was to have another kid, I would maybe try it that way, but shop is closed, so don't even ask. we not doing that. No. Yeah, these two kick my motherfucking ass. And they kick my motherfucking ass every day. I'm good. Everyone's like, oh, but they're so beautiful. Have another one. You have it. You do it. And spend your money. I'm not. I won't. They have all my money.
Right.
I might as well put them as authorized users on my shit.
No more.
Yeah. So anyways. Kind of back to the question, the reason why I'm calling this podcast Can a Mom is because of the way that it's incorporated into my everyday life. Again, I smoked right before I got on this, you know, we started recording and I'm fine. Like, you know, there's still people out there that are like, oh, like, what is it like when you smoke? Do you just like zone out and fall asleep? No.
Right.
No, I go on about my day.
Yeah.
I go to work high. I don't know of anything that I haven't. I mean, I'll do them sober. Yeah, no, I don't smoke all day, every day, especially like right now. But I've done everything that I've do in my everyday life at some point high.
And I mean, luckily we now live in 2023 where, you know, marijuana is legal in most states. Mm-hmm. You know,
you can go buy it at the store down the street from me.
Yeah, down the street.
You can buy, I mean, and I think I've only done them. I've only done it twice, but you can buy mushrooms at the smoke shop down the street from us. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Mushrooms. And I've asked them, like, are they,
you know?
Yeah, also medicinal. I mean, and that's how they sell them, is for medicinal purposes. Now, I've asked, I'm like, so if I ate this whole little candy bar or whatever, would I feel anything? Yep. Mm-hmm. You'd probably feel. And it's like, so I'm really excited about the way that there's so many studies coming out on how it's medicinal versus, you know, something like alcohol that debilitates you. You can't drive. You can't, like, bad things happen to people that drink
right.
all the time. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. Shit, I drink. We drank when we were in New York. You know, all of that stuff. I'm not saying drinking is bad, but what I am saying is that if drinking is legal, I'm really, really, really confused as to why marijuana is not legal.
Right.
Whenever it helps people every day.
Yeah.
You can get addicted to drinking. I really don't know of anybody that is addicted to to cannabis. I've
right. to where their life has is altered upside down.
Can't you know. Work.
They may like, you know, it may not be in the budget, you know, for some people.
Right. Some people
like
might
that,
go a little broke over it.
Yeah.
But you're not passing out at the wheel. You're not crashing a shit ton of cars. Yeah. So, you know, and I want to talk on it. I want to speak on it. I want to talk about my experiences with it. I think what a lot of studies don't have is they'll give you numbers. They'll give you, you know, what happened when with what and on a chart. But nobody really talks about the experience. I mean, a lot of people do. But I want to talk about the experience of smoking and vaping or edibles, because I be making edibles too. Like, I want to talk about that because it benefits me in such an extreme way. My life, truly, without cannabis, I don't think that I would be mentally as clear, emotionally as available as I am whenever I have it in my life. And there's nothing that anyone can say or do to make me feel ashamed of that, make me want to stop. If, you know, and I've talked to my friends about it, because let's be clear, like 90% of my friends smoke. all of us. We meet up. We have, like, me and my girls that are going to lunch today, we meet up before lunch to smoke, and then we go to lunch. Like, that's what we do. Right. So, you know, and a lot of us are also in the service industry, and where there's some of the best moms,
Yeah, they are.
Some of the most amazing, like, a part of my village. I've always told myself, like, my kids would never have sleepovers, blah, 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 but there's friends that I have who are just like me, you know, maybe not the same job, you know, I bartend, but are somehow involved in the service industry, that they just make it work.
Yep.
That's just what they do. And you're going to make it work as a parent. And if you got your head on straight, there's nothing anybody can tell you about what you do in your off time. Because one thing you can't tell me is that I'm not a good mom. The other thing you can't tell me is that I'm not going to smoke, because I'm going to smoke and I'm going to be a good mom. And that's just going to have to be how it is. And you're going to have to take it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then while you're over there trying to control your kids because they're jerks, mine are over here chill as hell because I'm chill as hell.
Yep.
I mean, don't. Hold on.
No, they don't be chilling.
Hold on. You know what I mean. They're not assholes. They're not mean to people. You know, they assholes to me, but that's just because I'm their mom. But they're not. They're good kids.
Yeah.
When we're not around, when I'm not around, when you're not around, these kids are angels to people. It's only us. It's just us. It's this. Yeah. But other than that, our kids are great. So anyways, I kind of wanted to shed light on that. And we'll be talking about it a lot more based on, you know, just work and stuff like that. It'll come up a lot. I feel like, you know, these first few episodes are going to really be more of an introduction into our life, what we do.
And if you're checking out this episode on YouTube or maybe if you just saw the teaser on Instagram, put some questions in the comments.
Yeah, for sure.
Put some questions in the comments, and we love to answer those questions and talk about what y'all want to talk about.
It can be a question about anything. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. I mean, it could be literally anything.
Mm-hmm,
anything. Mm-hmm. And as long as it's not weird, we'll shed light on it. No weirdos, please. Actually, I mean, weirdos welcome. Just don't ask me no weird questions, because I will block you. I've had to block so many people.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many people that try to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, welcome to the internet, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I love it. To me, it's like, it doesn't. If you're,
I love it too. I'm actually excited that we are stepping into this realm once again.
Goddamn cat.
I tell you. I'm glad that we're stepping into this realm. It's something that I always was hesitant to do and be afraid of and kind of be vulnerable.
But there's so many people like us.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know? once you kind of get past your own, I don't want to call them demons, but
insecurities,
your
own insecurities,
yeah. And you're confident in your own life and what you're doing right now, then you feel good. It's liberating putting yourself out there, talking about your life, talking about, you know, the good and the bad,
right.
And it feels good.
Yeah, it does. Here. And again, transparency is how we thrive. Mm-hmm. And I ain't mad at it. Yeah. I love that we're talking about it, because we live, we don't live a movie life. Nope. You know, we hustle. We work really, really hard. Our kids are really happy. They're really effing cute. And, you know, we will do, I especially as the mother, will do anything and everything to protect my kids. So as long as, you know, everything is cool over here, I'm gonna talk about it. Bet. You know what I mean? I'm all about it. I'll talk about anything. And you know, there's really not an offensive question to me, just because, I mean, there are, but I like to talk about everything.
Yeah.
Me and my best friends have discussions like this all the time. You know, we don't agree on a lot of stuff, but I love talking about it. So I think that's going to be a lot of me just shedding light on things that I like and how I feel about things. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't believe in the use of cannabis, especially for some reason the stigma behind a mother using cannabis or smoking or whatever is so odd. And you know, I want to shed light on that because moms smoke weed too.
Yeah, they do.
Moms smoke a lot of weed too. And a lot of us need it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us don't want to lose our shit on our kids. And we feel like shit when we do. So I need a little bit of, you know, the mom medicine to chill me out.
Before we wrap up, I want to say, or at least put it out there, if I don't know if you're cool with this, but, you know, if you...
I don't know if you're cool with it, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Yeah, okay. No, if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, if you...
I got to know you.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but maybe somebody you know that would like to, you know.
But then you ask him. Nah. Let me get a
it's
third
not
mic
guaranteed.
First. Let me get a third mic
It's
first.
Not guaranteed that you're going to be on the podcast as a guest, but somebody may say, hey, I got something to say, and you just, you put
them
on
the list.
Oh,
y'all could call in.
Yeah, I mean, it don't even have to be
do a it person. Like back in the radio days.
Yeah, you can call in. Yeah, exactly. We have the technological capabilities to do so.
We'll see. Let's wait. Let's give it a minute.
See, that's why I knew I shouldn't ask. Anyway.
First of all, you out here offering my podcast to just anybody.
We are not only the hosts, we are the producers and engineers of this podcast inside of our dining room. So just give us some leeway on the technology here. This ain't the clearest podcast you've seen today, but it sounds good.
About the mics.
All right, let's get out of here, man.
All right, love you. Bye.
This is the Kenamon Podcast. DJ Tony Styles. Now the dog's barking.
Shit.
At DJ Tony Styles on Instagram.
Mine is at Alexa the Great 713.
Yeah, and we out.
See you.
Turn that music up.
Yeah. Penny X. I need someone to be patient with me.